You turn in your Bibles today to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 18, in a sermon entitled Guilt. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his righteous duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put their law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Father in heaven, we pray that you administer to us. Guilt is a problem that so many face. And Lord, that we need to examine and not be riddled by and devastated by and crippled by. So help us to see in your word your answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. William Parker tells about a story that appeared in newspapers back in 1972. It was datelined Salonika, Greece. Had a real problem on its hands, you see. Seemed that many pending court trials could not be held as planned because mice had devoured the files in the civil court archives. I kid you not. The evidence against the alleged criminals had totally disappeared. Imagine how those scheduled for trial felt, knowing that all the records of their crimes had been permanently eaten, destroyed. They could never be tried for their misdeeds. That would seem like a gift from heaven. The mice chewed up all their crimes. We're all familiar with the school day's excuse, "The dog ate my homework." But that's all that is, an excuse. This is more like a complete pardon from the governor. The mice chewed up my crimes. Our lesson from Hebrews carries a similar message. Christ, because he died on the cross, took away our sins. Not some of them. Not a few of them, not the worst of them, but all of them. Every wrong thought, every wrong deed, every mistake, every screw up, all of it we can lay at the throne of grace and be freed. Freed from it all. Taken away as though it never existed. Taken away and completely forgotten. By God, the judge of all the universe has decided that our sins will never be held against us. But that certainly doesn't keep us from holding those sins against ourselves. Hundreds of years before, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." There in Isaiah 1, verse 16, "Now come, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What an amazing, comforting piece of scripture. And yet, all that Isaiah prophesied, all that he said was going to happen, happened in the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. As Jeevan spoke about, worthy is the Lamb. We read in our lesson for the day, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, referring to Jesus here, when this priest, verse 12, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice, verse 14, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The question that I ask you this morning, are you among those people who are being made holy by the work and person of Jesus Christ? Okay, answer it. Let the answer come. Okay, then relax. Then relax. Your sins have been forgiven. Stop beating yourself up. Stop reliving the past. Stop not giving yourself a break because God already gave you the ultimate break in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Even if what you did was wrong. Sin. You feel guilty. He has forgiven you. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of times where we feel guilty about things that we shouldn't even feel guilty about. But let me just tell you, you don't have to figure out the difference. Jesus forgives it all, whether you need forgiveness for it or not. He loves you. Lay it at his feet. Let it go. Christ has taken away our sins just as easily as those mice ate up those criminal records. He's made us holy in the sight of God. That is why he came into the world. He came into the world to take away our sins. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But the verse that follows it, John 3:17, is just as wonderful, for it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Isn't that what we need to know most about God? God didn't send Christ into the world to condemn us, but to save us. And not only us, but everyone on this planet. Pastor Lee Anderson tells about visiting Manila in the Philippines several years ago. His host took him to, of all places, the Manila garbage dump. Certainly not the most pleasant place on earth to visit. But what he saw there was something almost beyond belief. He discovered that tens of thousands of people were making their homes on that Manila dump site. They constructed shacks out of things that other people had thrown away. And they send their children out early every morning to scavenge for food out of other people's garbage so they can have family meals. You and I cannot even begin to imagine such desperation. Lee Anderson saw people who had been born and grew up right there on the garbage dump. He reports that these unfortunate people raised their families, had children, built their small shacks, ate the garbage, finished out their lives, and died there without ever going anywhere else. They never even made it to the city of Manila itself. Astonishing story. But here is something even more astonishing. The Anderson reports that there are people from the United States of America there in Manila living on that garbage dump. They are missionaries, Christians, who have been chosen to leave their country, who have been chosen to leave the comfort so that they can communicate the love of Jesus Christ to people who otherwise would never hear it. He says he's amazed by that. People would leave what we have, go and live on a literal dump. And then he says, amazing, amazing, but not as amazing as the journey from heaven to earth. The Son of God made that journey, and he knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going. He knew what that sacrifice would be. He journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the human race, to save you and me. That's why Christ came into the world. That our sins, though they are as scarlet, shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Oh, yes. Some of you may remember a story that Garrison Keillor told on Prairie Home Companion about a man in Lake Wobegon who was saved 12 times at the altar of a Lutheran church. This was in a Lutheran church that never gave altar calls. But Larry Sorensen would come to the altar time after time and weep buckets and buckets of tears and then come back the next Sunday and do the very same thing. He kept repenting and repenting, but somehow he just couldn't get beyond the repenting stage. And pretty soon even the fundamentalists got tired of him. Larry was obviously a man who could not move on with his life. Even though he had heard the message of salvation, his sense of guilt was too great. And of course he was a fictional character, but he represents people who are all too real. They are racked with guilt. They do not believe that they deserve to be forgiven. They believe that God can forgive a host of sins, but he can't forgive their sin. That what they have done is just too great. Hogwash. This is why Christ came into the world. He came to take away all our sins. You and I do not have to hold on to our guilt any longer. We're forgiven. So let's talk a couple of minutes this morning about guilt. Maybe that somebody other than me has brought a load of guilt into church today. A survey several years ago of 52,000 people, more than 40% indicated that they were often troubled by deep feelings of guilt. 40%. Perhaps that number wouldn't be as great today. After all, some people today boast of things that people would have been ashamed to talk about in an earlier generation. But don't kid yourself. There's still plenty of guilt to go around. And maybe someone from this room falls into that category. Maybe it's a misdeed from your youth that's lingering on your conscience for decades. Maybe it was an action from more recent time. Maybe you feel guilty because you just aren't thankful enough for what you've got. Maybe you betrayed someone you love. Maybe you neglected someone who needed you. Whatever it is, whether major or seemingly minor, you are living in regret. If only God could remove your guilt. If only God could remove your guilt. If only God could give you peace. If only God could give you contentment. If only it could just disappear. I do want to say, too, that guilt does have a purpose in our lives. Guilt is to the soul what pain is to the body. When you feel pain, you know that something is wrong. That's a good thing. You need to take care of it. So it is with guilt in the soul. Guilt helps us see that something is wrong with our life, just as pain tells us that something is wrong in our body. Those people who have leprosy end up having damage done to their bodies because they can't feel pain. They don't know what they're doing to their bodies. Diabetics face a similar danger. No sensation in their feet. Sometimes they become prone to injuries. Don't even know it's there. Infections. Yancey once wrote a book with Brand called The Gift of Pain. And he came to determine that there is a need for pain in a normal life. I don't like hearing that either, but it is true. There is a place for pain in life. He begins to view pain not as an enemy, but as a language the body uses to alert us of something that needs attention. The very unpleasantness of that language makes it effective. Pain-sensitive people almost never duplicate the injuries of leprosy patients, and for a diabetic, if you, unlike them, step on a nail, you know it. You deal with it because it hurts. Guilt is to the soul what pain is to the body. It tells us that something is wrong and needs to be dealt with. And if we ignore that inner voice telling us that something is wrong, then we do it at our own peril. A teacher once told each of her students to bring a clear plastic bag, great teacher, clear, gotta get a picture of that, clear plastic bag, and a sack of potatoes to school. Then the teacher instructed them to write on each of those potatoes any wrong or shameful deed they might be carrying in their hearts, and they were then told to carry this bag with them everywhere they went for 1 week, putting it beside their bed at night, in the car seat when driving to their desk at school. And some of their bags were quite heavy. The hassle of lugging this bag of potatoes around with them made it clear what weight they were carrying around spiritually and how they had to pay attention to it all the time to not forget and maybe leave it in embarrassing places. Naturally, the condition of the potatoes deteriorated over time to a nasty slime. This is, my friends, how guilt works in us. If guilt is allowed to sit in our hearts, it deteriorates into a nasty slime. And who wants to carry around nasty slime? Guilt motivates us to make a change in our lives, to get rid of the slime forever. Guilt tells us that there is something in our life that needs to be taken care of. That's the difference between someone who does something they know is wrong and just don't feel any regret at all, and someone who has pangs of guilt that says, wow, I screwed up. What is the difference between those people? We all can receive forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Jesus has it fully and completely available. He knows we're going to screw up. Doesn't excuse us. Means we should still try harder every day. But every screw up you've already committed, every screw up and sin that you're going to commit this next week and in the days, weeks, and years to come before he takes you to glory has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you will but place your sin and place your guilt and place your shame at the foot of the cross, he will not only forgive it, he promises that he will forget it. Forget it. We need to turn it over to God. We need to confess if there's anything we've done wrong. We need to pray for character. We need to pray for strength so that sin doesn't get hold of us again. Some of us have those easily besetting sins, the things that just part of our nature seems to go back to them again and again. What's the difference between living in sin with a besetting sin and not guilt? Understanding that there's something wrong that needs to be resolved. Asking for forgiveness, even though it happens again the next day, or perhaps even the next hour. The struggle of faith is just that. It is a struggle. Martin Luther's great discovery that did so much to initiate the Protestant Reformation was this. He discovered that righteousness is a gift from God and not a human achievement. You see, we've convinced ourselves that if we do something wrong, we have to do something to make up for it. That somehow we can get righteousness for ourselves. I won't feel so guilty if I give $5 to the homeless guy. I'll feel better. If I just work at the soup kitchen, the fact that I cheated on my wife will somehow be, balance it out, No. You don't need to do anything to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. You need to do nothing. He paid for it all. He will write His law in our hearts. He will remember our sins and iniquities no more. There is a fountain filled with blood, goes an old hymn, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm here to tell you today, the past is the past. Good news and bad news. You might have had the best day ever yesterday. It's the past. That was yesterday. You're not going to be able to ride on the blessings of yesterday to wonderful experiences today. It's a new day, new effort, new work, new challenges, and today may just be awful. You sin a sin you haven't sinned in a long time. You think a thought you shouldn't have thought. You don't do something you know you should have done, and it's a sinful not doing stuff. Give yourself a break at the foot of the cross. Ask forgiveness and start anew, because the blessings of God are new every day. They're fresh. They're not old. They're not in the refrigerator. They're not leftovers. They're a fresh church dinner every day. No calories, by the way. If guilt is pointing you to God, listen to that voice. Unload your burden in His presence this very day. You and I have a Father with more love and forgiveness than you could ever imagine or use. If only we confess our sins. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The writer of Hebrews says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time, one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You're a work in progress. He is not finished with you yet. Trouble still lies ahead. Have faith. Look up. Your redemption draws near. Are we this morning in the company of those who are being made holy? We're not holy. We are being made holy. If we are among them, there is no greater feeling in the world than to know that no matter what your sin, no matter what your pain, no matter what your shame, no matter what your guilt, you can lay it at the foot of the cross. Let it lay there. Be free. In Jesus' name. Let's pray.